Amen, amen. Hey, while we're still standing, I'm going to pray. But before that, can we just give Robert another round of applause and a hand? We love you. Hey, for those who don't know, Robert has been here, like you said, for many, many years. He was also one of my youth workers and my camp counselor. So he's been a part of my life for a long time to watch me grow up here. And so we're excited for your new journey. And man, we love you a lot. Hey, let me pray as we jump in. God, we thank you so much for today. God, what an amazing week we all had with Thanksgiving, God. We're excited for this next season. And so, Father, I pray as we open up your word today, God, that we hear from you, that we are refreshed by you, God, that we are preparing our hearts now for what you are going to show us. God, it's in these moments that we reach out to you, God, that we cry out to you. God, I don't know if it's that we are on the mountaintops or the valleys, but God, wherever we're at today, God, be close to us and allow us to see more of who you are in these moments. We love you, God. We thank you for this Sunday. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. How are we doing? Are we good? Did you guys have a good week? You did? I want to see some hands. How many of you cooked for Thanksgiving? Yeah, love it. How many of you just ate the food that other people cooked? Yeah, I love it. I love it. Hey, I hope that you guys had an amazing Thanksgiving with family and friends. If you're like me, you traveled a lot around Thanksgiving. I stayed in Ventura, but we went to like 3 different houses. That's what it's like with like divorced families and things like that. 3 different houses, 3 different types of meals of Thanksgiving food. How many of you are already over Thanksgiving food? Like you're done with it. Some of you are like, my wife made it, so I'm not raising my hand. Like, it was pretty good. If you're like me, I'm over already. I can't lie. I had it for the past couple of days. But there is like one meal that I love, and it's what my father-in-law cooks. It's like these cheesy potatoes with like cornflakes on top. Anyone have that before? Like, I don't know. Something about that's good. I'll eat that every single day. So, hey, now that Thanksgiving is out of the way, you're thinking, wait. Hey, Merry Christmas. Guys, we are in the Christmas season. Let's go. Thank you. I love it. Hey, if you're like me, if you're in my car ever throughout the year, I just have Christmas music playing like every single month. Like it's just always playing in the car. Whenever I have like youth kids in the car, they're like, oh, you're serious. Like you've got Michael Bublé on all the time in your car. That's the type of Christmas spirit I've got. Anyone else like that? I'm by myself? Anyone? Thank you, Bobby. That's what I'm talking about. It's my girl. All right, hey. I'm excited for this. I hope that you had a great week, and I'm excited to jump into this Christmas season and to be able to be up here. If we haven't met yet, my name's Austin. I'm the youth pastor here, and I've been a part of the church since I was 8 years old, so I got to grow up in these same seats and run around, and I did the Praise Kids performances. I did things like that, so this church holds a very special place in my heart, and I'm excited to be able to speak with you today. We're going to jump right in. Are we ready? Are we ready? All right, I need you to grab your Bibles. We're going to flip to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in that seat back pocket. I'll also have it on the screen for you as well. But I'm someone who loves to have the physical Bible in front of me, even if that means on your phone. That way you can highlight, you could circle, you can see that for yourself. But I titled this today, I also love when people take notes. So if that's you, you're someone who is someone who takes notes, I would love that today. I'm going to be pointing back to that a lot. I don't know if that's in your journal Bible, if you need to get your notes page, like some of the students I have, they got notes on notes. So today's title is Mountains and Valleys. Mountains and Valleys. It's funny having this week before we jump into our Christmas series because I had to think, do I want to go the Christmas route or do I want this preparation for Christmas? So I want the preparation for what we're about to go ahead. And so when I titled this Mountains and Valleys, I believe those are two different areas of where we find ourselves often. Maybe one day or one month or one season of our life, we are in the mountaintop. Things are going well. I'm thankful for everything. I feel good. But the truth is, some of us might be in the valley where we're thinking, just because it's a Christmas season, I'm still struggling in this place. I'm still suffering. I still have sin I'm battling with. I still have addiction I'm battling with. There's some circumstances that I am stuck in. And so between the two, the goal for today, as a spoiler for you, is what I really want us is just to find out ways where we can be close to God in both of those areas. And when we stay close to God in both the mountains and the valleys, those are the places where we get to thank God for. It might be easy to thank God in the mountaintop, But there's also places where we can thank God even though we're in the valley. That's where we are headed today. So if you're at Psalm 102, if you're there, say word. Okay, only a couple of you. Hey, Psalm 102, we're going to read this together. We got a lot of verses today, so prepare your hearts, okay? I wasn't holding back. We've got like 25 verses we're reading. Are we okay with that? Okay. I'm glad. Hey, just a little background. This is, when you're talking about Psalm 102, this type of literature, it's called the individual lament. So you'll see a lot of, if you've ever read through Jeremiah or Job before, you'll see a lot of similar words within this chapter. And I want you to stick with me here because you're going to think, wow, man, Austin is starting off on a low here. Way to bring in the energy, Pastor Austin. But stick with me as we read through this because you'll also see a contrast between 102 and 103, okay? Here we go. If you're there, say a word. Word. All right, I'm going to read it and we'll go through and I'll give you some words if you want to highlight or write next to it. This will be for you. Starts off by saying this. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let me cry out for help. Do not hide your face from me. When I am in distress, turn your ear to me. When I call, answer me quickly. This is written by, which we'll say, the author of the psalmist, and it says this. The first one or two verses, you see this distress. You see that something is wrong. This could be physically. This could be something wrong with the sinful life. But you know that there is a distress here. Cries out to me saying, let me cry out to you, God. Do not hide your face from me. You're seeing this sign of loneliness, of needing some kind of help. And here's what you see here in verse 3. For my days vanish like smoke. So it shows something temporarily there, that the smoke is there, then it eventually is gone. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud and reduced to skin and bones. Like I said, if you ever read Job or Jeremiah, you'll see a lot of those exact words talking about the physical pain through the bones of this person. Verse 6, I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on the roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. For I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears because of the great wrath. For you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. In this individual lament, you start to see signs of suffering. Verses 3 through 11 are reflecting what suffering really feels like in this author. They're going through something. And as I read these words, there's probably people saying, you know, I actually connect with that. Or maybe some of us are saying, I've been in the valley place exactly like that, where I have suffered, I have felt alone. It says, like, I am like an owl on the roof of a barn. I am by myself and lonely. I have no one else with me. God, where are you? It seems like you've picked me up and threw me to the side and you only care about other things and not me. You see a lot of truth within this. Almost things that I would even be scared to pray out loud to God, to be honest. But the author in this is saying, this is how I feel. I call this the valley prayer. When we talk about mountains and valleys, I think this is a valley prayer. You see the suffering. You see the hurt. You see that temporary saying that the days are like smoke. You see the physical pain. But here's what I want you to focus on before we jump right into a point. Verse 12. But. It says, but you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. Although you see suffering, you now see hope. Although you saw the suffering and the pain and the struggle, you now see hope and restoration. You now see what he says to God. He says, but, although, here's what I just said in 11 verses, but you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. You see how important it is for this person that no matter the valley they're in, the pain they're in, they always point back to knowing God is going to be there from the beginning to the present and the future, saying he is enthroned forever. Then he continues to go on, and I want to jump to verse 27. He shares about this connection between him and the community of Zion and Israelites and the way that God moves and gives them strength. And he gets to verse 27 and says this. There's the words again. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. In this type of individual lament, you start to see that although there's the pain through the valley that this author is sharing, it points back to the hope, saying, at least I know that God will be there in all generations, and God will not change no matter what circumstance I am a part of. I'm going to jump right into a point, if you're okay with that. I've got a few points for us, and this includes myself, not just me to you. This will be for all of us. First one is this. When I think of the pain this person's going through, when I think of my own circumstances of when I've been in that valley, and I really have at some point in my life, I think about this. The God that sent you to is the God that'll get you through. The God that has sent you to is a God that'll get you through. But as I share that, I want you to know that we're not alone in that valley. Although God might send us to it and he will get us through it, he is there with us. I shared a little bit earlier, more in a joking way, but when I was 6 or 7 is when my parents got a divorce. I remember at that time I thought, you know, this isn't really that bad. A lot of the cover-up was, at least I get 2 Christmases now. I'm going to ask for the same Game Boy from both parents and see if I get 2. And I did. But here's the truth about that. As life continued to move on from the 6 and 7-year-old Austin, when all of my friends had their parents still together, I thought, why is it that my parents couldn't stay together? Man, I thought, why is it that my family's now beginning to be more broken as time goes on because of the decision they made? Why is it that happened to me? And that began to lead to a lot of things that led into what I would call my valley, my deep, broken, and suffering moments for me growing up. And I thought, this is probably it. A lot of it is leading to these moments where I'm stuck. I'm falling into what marriage looks like. I guess this is what it's going to look like for me too. I thought this has to be normal, right? I start to lean into these lies in my head about what that looks like. But then what I soon realize is that the God that would send me to a certain circumstance like that or a season of my life is also a God that would lead me through that. Because the best part about that, which when God shows that he leads us, is there's benefits that came out of that I didn't see when I was in the valley. A lot of times when we're in the valley, we don't see the good or areas to thank God for until we start hiking over to where we hope will be the mountaintop. So when you start hiking over away from the valley, you start to see what you're thankful for. I wouldn't have the best step family in the world if it wasn't because of that. I wouldn't have 2 little sisters if it wasn't because of my parents' divorce. So there's areas to give God thanks. Although it wasn't in the moment of the valley, it was when I hiked towards the mountaintop, I saw where to be thankful for in the valley. The God that sends us to is a God that can get us through. Here's the contrast I want to give you. We're going to read Psalm 103 now. So you see a lot of this lament, the words that look a lot like Jeremiah and Job. You see the author of what they meant of this suffering. Then you see 103. If you're there, say word. It'll be on the screen as well. This is known as the hymnic literature, so you'll see this. Verse 1, praise the Lord, my soul. It's already starting off a lot different than hear my prayer, Lord. He starts to give praise. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with the love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You see the lonely owl in 102. You see the eagle in 103. Okay, I'll keep reading. Verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love. I want you to highlight those words. If you've got a highlight or underline it, circle, whatever you need to do. You start to think, how do we get there from there? Verse 9, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank the Lord for that. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You see this contrast here. You see 102, you see how the valley, and then I call the 103 the mountaintop prayer. I like that they're next to each other. I really do think that's on purpose. Because when you read 102, you think that's the end, but then when you read 103, you see what happens when we stay close to God. You see what happens when we spend time with him. That it's going to be hard, but if we spend time with God and try our best to hike towards a mountaintop, we then find moments when we get to praise him. And a lot of us have probably been in those moments when we can just praise God because life is going really well. Life is really doing really well for us in the moment. But a lot of us who are living in the mountaintop moments can always look back at where we were in the valley. So you have this 102 and this contrast between the both. You see it goes from sorrow and suffering to confidence and hope. You see that there is a hope and a confidence in God when we stick with him. I want you to, number two is this. I believe that we need to spend more time with the artist. And here's what I mean by that. I've got this painting here that's by a really famous artist, okay? Her name is Sailor Gray. She's 4 years old. She's my daughter, okay? This is what she painted. Ooh. Ah. We had this painting. I got it from the parking lot sale. We painted it white, and I gave it to her to paint over it. Gave her some rollers, a bunch of paint, gave her like 30 paintbrushes. When you give kids paintbrushes, they have to use every single one. Like it's interesting. We gave this to her, and I let her just go crazy. Do whatever you want. Just paint it. And she did. And when she was done, I went back to her, and I said, tell me what it is. What did you do? I love it, by the way. And so she starts to share a little bit about it. And at first, I'm like, there's some things I can kind of, you know, I got to squint, a little abstract art. Anyone got to do that before? If you squint, you're like, oh, I think I see it. She starts sharing. She's like, well, it's a lot of things that I love. And so she starts saying that she's got hearts and flowers and a sun. She paints this picture. I said, who is this? She said, that's mom. I said, what's all over her face? She says, those are her freckles. I love her freckles. And she goes, and this is me, and this is Georgia, her younger sister. I said, where's me? She says, you're all the way over here. I said, okay. I squinted. I said, yeah. She shares more about it. She said, the bottom, that's the ocean. She said, this is a Christmas tree. She thought this leaf. She had some of her favorite colors. She starts to tell me more about the process as well. I go, how did you do this in here? She goes, well, I took the roller paintbrush and I dipped in a bunch of different colors and I just kept rolling all over and it made this cool rainbow. She's explaining it to me. She says, when you mix all the colors together, this is the color it looks like. I'm like, oh, interesting color. The more I spent time with the artist, the more I found out about what the painting meant. The more time I spent with the artist, the more I found out what this painting actually meant. I learned more about the process. When you see 102 and 103, you see the process. You see what happens when we spend time with the artist. We can go from sorrow and suffering to hope and to confidence in Christ. You can find out more about what it actually means for us when we're put in a valley moment. Because sometimes in those moments, we don't know why, and we're asking God why. Why does it feel like you're picking me up and putting me to the side? Why does it feel like you don't hear my prayers? But sometimes what we need to do is take a step back and look at the bigger picture of why God is actually allowing that to happen in the first place. Some parts of our lives might seem just chaotic, and you don't really know what it is. Some things might seem beautiful, and the things that you love, like a mountaintop prayer, you might understand it, but when you take a step back, when you spend time with the artist, you know more about why it was planned like that in the first place. So number two, we should spend time with the artist. There's this quote by Daniel Hahn. It says this: God doesn't love us because we're perfect, but because we keep coming back to him. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't love us because we're perfect, but because we keep coming back to him. There's going to be moments when we're trapped in a valley moment. It could be from sin. It could be physical pain. It could be suffering. And I'm sorry if that's you and that's you're in that space right now. But if we keep spending time with God and going back to him, we get to see the bigger picture of how things look for our life. And there will be a moment when we see, I think I know why this happened years later, where we get to look back at that valley and say, God, I do give you thanks. Although that's hard to say more than allowing that to actually happen. But I do believe that that is the truth of what can happen. But we always come back to the bigger picture. Number three. For those who are saying, and I thought about this as I was preparing, some of us might be in the room saying, yo, I've been living in a mountaintop. Like, I haven't had a valley moment in a long time or ever, or I think I'm good. That's great. We'd be thankful for that, all right? I know Thanksgiving is over, but we can still be thankful for those moments. But here's what I also think. Those are the moments when we should also give God thanks. When you see that mountaintop prayer in 103, a lot of it is just giving praise to God. It's remembering the goodness of him. How many of us are actually turning back to God and saying thank you for the mountaintop moments? We're saying, no, I've been good. But have you thanked God for it? I mean, I've been living great right now. Like, financially, my family's good. My kids are making good decisions. Thank the Lord. Are you thanking God? So number three is this. Nothing is lost when Jesus is gained. Nothing is lost when Jesus is gained. I wanted to read a whole another section of scripture, but I'm just going to share a little bit and we'll read some of it together. But in Luke 17, you have this moment when Jesus is walking and he's headed to Jerusalem and he sees there's 10 guys with leprosy. I've heard this before. I've actually shared this before. There's 10 guys with leprosy. From a distance, they start to share and shout to God, have mercy on us, God, please. And if I can just think, that's probably a valley moment for them. They've got this disease on their skin, scaly. In that time, they're known as they have to be separated from normal culture. They are unclean. You can imagine what that would feel like. That seems like probably a valley moment for them, where they're stuck and they're saying, I can't even be close to normal people. All 10 are shouting to God. They need him to, they want the healing. And so Jesus says, okay, go ahead and turn and head back and go show the Pharisees and go see your people. And as they turn and they're walking away from God, they start to begin to be healed. Like their physical pain, their 102 moment is now being healed. They're now walking into what you would call their mountaintop 103 moment. Psalm 103. You following along? Okay. All 10 are walking away. They're probably looking at it going, this is insane. No way this just happened. All praise to God. This is crazy. I'm going to go hug my family. I'm now going to go into the town and show them what happened. Look at how I am now. I've lived my entire life in this valley and this suffering and physical pain. And I felt like the owl on the roof just by myself. Then one of them turns around, goes back to Jesus, falls on their knees and says, thank you, God. Thank you so much. You'll see these verses here. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Verse 19 says this. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And your Bibles, I want you to highlight that circle underline. Your faith has made you well. The faith that he had in Jesus for it to happen is what made him well. Were all 10 of them healed? Yes. Were all 10 of them now going to live on a mountaintop? Yes. But he believed that his life was going to have more gain if he went back to Jesus, fell on his knees, and praised him with a loud voice, saying, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you for my mountaintop moment. Nothing is lost when Jesus is gained. I like to look at it as this. If we're headed into this Christmas season, we can continue to go on living like what we've always done every Christmas year and be like, this was fun, family, cooking, presents, all that. But when we add Jesus into it, when we fall on our knees and praise him, we are gaining something. We're not losing anything. And so when we share these, here's what I've got one more point and two little questions for you. Here's how I look at this. Is when I think about both moments, the valley and the mountaintop, when we spend time with the artist like I shared, we find out more about how we can praise God and how we can sit with God in both of them. And there's some people in this room who maybe you've just never made that decision before of saying, I've never really sat with God in my suffering. I've never thanked God in my mountaintop moments enough that he deserves. Maybe this next season, as we head into this holiday season, one of our favorite times of the year, maybe these are those moments when we actually start to make those changes in our life that allow us to see more about what the artist is painting on our canvas. The artist and the creator of us is allowing us to spend time with him so we can see more about this canvas, more that's painted on, if we allow God to move within our lives. When we say, hey, God, I want to be close to you in both the valley and the mountaintop. But the truth is this number four. A lot of us live in this. It's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. It is hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. If you've never given Jesus a chance yet, you've already put the words in what you thought he was going to say. If you said, I already know what's going to happen in this season, there's nothing extra I can do. I've been a part of the church for a long time. I know what happens. You're already giving God the words when he can really be showing you something different. Maybe some of you are in a really hard season, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this Christmas season, one of my favorite seasons, because of what's happening or what just happened or what we're coming out of. But I'm going to tell you this. I really do think that God can lead you to something greater. God can nudge you in a different direction that you thought he was going to answer in. I really do think he can reveal something to you powerful that you did, that you least expected, because you allow it to be his words, not your own words. It's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. So here's what I want for you guys to do. I've got two questions. This is what I did when I was going through this process of my own sermon. I always make sure that it's something that is applied to myself that I'm able to even teach on. There's two questions here. What is your 102 moment? The reason why I want to identify that is, for those who are on the mountaintop right now, you look back at your 102 and say, man, I saw where God got me out of. I saw the suffering and pain and the loneliness I was a part of, and I know that God got me out of that. That's that 102 moment. For some of you, I want you to answer, what is your 103 moment? And where do you want God to take me? Where do I want to be on the mountaintop where I'm able to thank God? If you're in that valley space saying, how can I hike to the mountaintop right now so I can be there to thank God for the life I do have? It's good for us to identify both, because then we get to say, I know how I can learn more about the artists, more about our God, when I stay close to him in both the mountaintop and the valley below. And when we do so, we might allow ourselves to see more about what God has for us in this next season. I'm going to pray. God, it's in these moments right now. God, as we read two big chunks of scripture that really show us the difference between the sorrow and the pain and the struggle, but also seeing the contrast of what it looks like to have, God, the mountaintop moments when we get to thank you and praise you. God, it is hard for us to be thankful in the valley, God. I'm speaking about myself. It's the pain that I reach out in, and I don't reach out to you, God. And so, Father, I pray for those who are in their 102 moment right now, God. I know the truth is that just because the Christmas season is here, that the pain doesn't go away, that the suffering doesn't go away. For some of us, it actually gets worse in this moment. God, I pray for them that they get to see you They get to see your masterpiece within us. We get to see you as our creator and the artist that is painting something beautiful that we don't even see yet. God, allow us to hike to the mountaintops, to look back at our painting, to see the full picture of why you sent us there. Knowing that you're gonna be with us and get us through it, not alone. God, I pray for this next season that we allow it to be your words that guide us, not our own. We don't just assume that we know the answer already, God, but we spend time with you. Find out ways we get to come back to you and thank you. That we get to be close to you and celebrate the birth of our King. So God, I pray for the people in this room who are living in both the 102 and 103 moment here, God. I pray that we can stay close to you, that we can be with you. Find out more about the process of our life and find out ways that we can continue to praise you, God. We give all this praise to you, our only hope. In Christ's name, amen.